Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Starting the game off like that, and the building was rocking. It felt like a different game, and that had some importance to it. And it was special. It was kind of like saying thank you to me, and I was thanking them. And it was it was all good. So it was felt great, and it was made a little interesting at the end of the game. But that was certainly a memorable event that I'm thankful for.
That's hockey, baby.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Joel Quenneville back in town last night, and we are delighted to welcome in Charlie Roumeliotis. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Charlie, of course, covering the Blackhawks for NBC Sports Chicago. Good morning, Charlie. How are you? Good
morning, Charlie.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We are living the dream, and it is fun, obviously, to see Coach Q, and David wrote about it this morning. Just the memories, right? I mean, it's a trip down memory lane when you start thinking about Coach Q with Taze and Kane and Duncan Keith and, just the Stanley Cup trophy, for God's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what Joel said in his pregame press conference yesterday. He said basically if there was any bitterness towards the organization, it was quickly vanished when you think about all the memories coming back into the building and the times that they won the Stanley Cup. And you look across the NHL now and how many coaching firings are happening so quickly. He was with the Blackhawks for 10-plus years, and we don't see that kind of stretch anymore in the National Hockey League. So the fact that he was able to have all those memories in Chicago, there's absolutely no bitterness towards the organization.
You know, Charlie, so you're at the morning skate and you're doing a Facebook Live hit for NBC Sports Chicago, and behind you, all of a sudden, two guys start going at it, and it's Duncan Keith and it's Jonathan Taves. What did you find out what happened and what was the source of that? And it was an emotional day. Was it just two guys who were tightly wound, kind of, maybe looked at each other? What happened there and what'd they say after?
Yeah, I still don't know exactly what happened, and Jonathan Taves and Jeremy Colleton kind of downplayed it at the end of practice. So until we maybe find out more, I don't want to speculate. But it was interesting to kick off a very crazy day where you have Coach Q's return, Patrick Kane's getting honored, both teams are coming in on 5-game win streaks, and then you have that happen at morning skate. It was only another thing added to the plate on that day. So very interesting situation at morning skate.
When we think of this team now taking 10 days off, where are they at? Do you consider them a playoff team? They obviously had won 5 in a row before the loss last night, and it's a 4-3 loss. They try to rally, but obviously come away from the break without the winning streak intact. How good are they? How good are they going to be? Will they go out and make a move?
I think they're playing their best hockey by far over this last month, and I think it's sustainable over the course of a long term. So they're getting good goaltending, the top guys are producing, and they're also getting that depth scoring. But most importantly is they've really tightened up their defensive structure, and I think if they continue to do that, they're going to stay in the hunt all season long. The problem is the math is still stacked against them. Like they just won 5 in a row and 11 of their last 15, and they still find themselves 3 points out of a playoff spot. So they don't have much margin for error. Now, Stan Bowman, when we talked to him a few weeks ago, said essentially that it's going to depend on what this group does over the next 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the trade deadline. So I think he's going to ride out the current group, and as they get closer to the end of February, then he's going to decide what to do with his team.
What's been the most surprising aspect of the past month, Charlie? I mean, obviously, to me, you look at, you expect Kane to be Kane, and Taze, his resurgence has been mildly surprising, but he's a proven guy. I just have been, there's been some guys whose contributions maybe have been up and down, but what stood out to you?
To me, I think it's the penalty kill. Like, that was a historically bad season last year where it was the worst percentage of the last 30 years of any team. And it's, I believe it's top 10 right now. And it has been coming up large. Like you look at that Winnipeg game on Sunday night, and there was a 5-on-3 opportunity. And I know Robin Leonard came up huge in that, but if they don't defend that well, like Winnipeg wins that game. Like I think they generated 12 scoring chances over that course of the 5-on-3 power play, or the 4-minute power play. So the penalty kill has been ridiculously good. The question now is whether the power play can lift up their end, because they were the ones that that was the part of the special teams that they relied on last season. So I'm going to say the penalty kill for sure.
You know, we look at this team and we talk about not just getting to the playoffs, but winning a playoff series. And is that realistic? I mean, is it realistic to look at this team, given puck luck, given all the things that happen once you hit the playoffs? We see a hot goalkeeper, a hot goalie can stand on his head and take a team all the way. Where are they at? And would you make a move with Crow? I mean, what has to happen to get them there?
I think it's possible only because of what you saw in the Stanley Cup playoffs last season, mm-hmm. where all of those number one seeds fell. The historically good Tampa Bay Lightning that finished with the most points in NHL history got swept by the 8th-seeded Columbus Blue Jackets. So you see that, and it really gives teams motivation. And I know everyone says it every year, just get in and anything can happen. But teams are actually believing that now. So the Blackhawks may not be a, you know, when you look over the course of the last few months, that you might not think of them as a playoff team, but if they do get in, it doesn't take much to make a little bit of a run. And the Blackhawks have that hot goaltending. They have that firepower, that experience. The young guys are starting to get more comfortable. So it really is important just to get in at this point.
So, Charlie, before the game, Patrick Kane was honored. That was really cool. And the light show was unbelievable. And the crowd responded as you would expect the crowd to respond. It was loud. Then Q, the video tribute, short but sweet. But then they started chanting Q, and they got on their feet. And I think that might have been a little bit louder. I know that you don't necessarily agree. What did you think?
Yeah, it was very close, David. I know we talked a little bit about before. I think it would have been interesting to see what the cheers would have been like if they weren't Qs, and how loud it would have been. But I did think it was so cool to see at the beginning of the game that the Patrick Kane cheers, and they just kept showing him on the Jumbotron, and the cheers got louder and louder and louder. And then when they showed Joel Quenneville, you know, they would pan to the fans, and then they would pan back to Joel, and the cheers got louder, and then they would pan back to the fans, and then the cheers got louder when they showed Joel. So it was a very cool moment at the United Center last night.
You know, I hate to ask this question because it's so unfair, but I it's what we do. Would they be better off if they hadn't fired him? Would they be better off if they had gone, it just gutted it out, or did that have to happen?
I'm not sure. I think it's a tough hypothetical question, mm-hmm. because they were in a retooling phase when he got fired. I think it's a little bit unfair to maybe pin the firing on him. I just think maybe it was time to get a new voice in a different phase of the organization, not necessarily blaming Joel for that he didn't get the most out of the group. Because I really believe that at no point did he ever lose that locker room. Like, he was still the guy. The problem is that maybe the pieces weren't in place and you had this younger generation coming up, and maybe you wanted a younger type voice in Jeremy Colleton. So it's a tough hypothetical yes or no answer, but I think when you look back at, you're always going to think of Joel Quenneville as one of the icons here in Chicago sports.
You know, nothing lasts forever. And I think they had to pick a lane. And I think you're right, Charlie. I think that had they decided to say, okay, we're going to fire our general manager and we're going to keep this coach as a transitional guy who has been here and is stable, they chose to fire the coach and to keep the general manager to stabilize things and go with the young direction. So it is a difficult hypothetical.
See, but what you said there, the young direction, you know, there was this feeling mm-hmm. that Joel wasn't interested in younger players, yep. particularly defensemen.
Look
right?
at him now. Yeah. And now he's got a team that's right. you know, pretty dangerous, Charlie. I mean, that's a pretty good hockey team that left with a victory last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a sit-down interview with Joel Quenneville. You can read on NBCSportsChicago.com. And I even talked to him about the importance of a coach-GM relationship. And nothing, whether it's been overblown in Chicago or not, about Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman. Like, Stan never got to choose his GM when he got hired. And I know he inherited the second winningest head coach of all time, but the fact that you can work so closely with your head coach on talking to players, like, it was also okay. Like, it was okay to feel that Stan deserved a shot with a guy that he can work closely with. So it worked out for 10 plus years. And the fact that now he has Jeremy, who he works closely with on players and direction of the team, you know, Stan deserved that also.
Great stuff, Charlie. Appreciate your
time, Charlie.
Man.
Good job.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.